What is going on, crypto family? So today we got Jack Liu. He is the U.S. Regional Investment Director for NGC Ventures. That is a mouthful, but it was a great time. You know, we talked a lot, man, about token economics, you know, how the VC thinks, right? Because we all want to know, you know, how do they examine deals? What do they look for? Well, he tells us. He also talks about things that they've invested in, what they're looking to invest in. He talks a ton about token economics and kind of the science behind that. I thought that was really cool. You know, it was awesome, really, just to kind of peek into the world of the VC and see how they analyze things. And I think you'll quickly see as well that Jack is all business, all blockchain, all the time. I think this guy eats, sleeps, and drinks blockchain. But you know what? I had a great time hearing his thoughts and insights, and I sure hope you do as well. So let's go meet Jack, and I'll catch you on the other side. What is going on, crypto family? So today we've got Jack Liu, the U.S. Regional Investment Director for NGC Ventures with us, man. So thanks a bunch for coming on. I appreciate you. This is going to be cool for the audience because, you know, a lot of people, they get to hear about, you know, people behind projects, but they don't really hear about the VCs that fund the projects. So it's going to be great to get your take on a lot of things. And, you know, if you could, man, just kind of tell us how you got into venture capital, how you got into crypto, all that kind of cool stuff.
Yeah. So hi, everyone. This is Jack, and I'm running U.S. operation for NGC Ventures. So we are one of the largest crypto VC in the space, only focusing on crypto and blockchain technology. So basically, I know crypto because of my study in economics, though I'm an economic game theory background. So basically, I didn't start with investment, but mainly analyzing and doing research on blockchain smart contract. So basically, I see this technology have a lot of potential. I mean, cryptocurrency is one use case, but there are a lot of things to explore, like smart contract and, I mean, blockchain itself, the information distribution issues. So that's how I get into blockchain. And I mean, one of the main ways to learn the space is being a VC, because as a VC, you see extensive projects and you are mostly updated to what the market is going on. And I mean, VC basically controls where the market is going and how blockchain is going to be financed. So basically, I see the financial support to this new technology is very important. And using my research background, we want to bring and find the best crypto projects in the space.
It's awesome, man. You look super young though. So you say you started off, you know, in game theory with blockchain and whatnot, but you know, where, you know, how old are you, man? You look, sorry to be offensive, but it doesn't look like you could have been in it that long.
Yeah, but I mean, I studied economics back in high school, so to be honest, I'm very I'm quite knowledgeable about economics. And when I see the space, when a lot of people, even some professors, talk about token economics while they have no economic background, I think it doesn't matter about how young I am. It's about, like, we want to bring some real economic into the blockchain area, basically to get rid of those so-called token novice that was just designed for pump up the tokens.
Yeah. No, nice deflection on the age. Yeah, no problem. But no, and you're right. Age doesn't matter. I mean, you look like Zuckerberg when he created Facebook, right? So yeah, age should not be an indicator. But it just, you know, when you said blockchain, you've been in it for a long time, it just kind of, yeah, made me think, man, you must have been in it in high school, right? So as you were. So, you know, maybe tell us, you know, where you're from. I know you're in San Francisco right now. So where'd you grow up?
I was growing up in China, and I went to a British high school, and then I came to U.S. for college. So I went to a Reed College.
What's like, you know, for people that haven't been to China, what's something like the biggest differences you see, you know, in China, you know, I guess maybe as a society, you know, versus like the U.S.? What's some of the big differences you see, you know, maybe like or love or hate or whatever, but what kind of differences do you see, you know, living in both places?
So basically, I mean, Chinese is famous for a lot of things. It's better, in the real economy, we're famous for manufacturer. But coming to crypto, I see two very different environments, because China and Chinese people have been very active over the last decade, and the economy basically skyrocketed. And that means when there are new things, people try hard to explore. And some of them, because our economy grows so fast, some people just lost patience. That's why when you see the market in general, the market dynamics, Chinese projects are more short-term than, I mean, the U.S. projects. U.S. project long-term thinking, while in China, we're, I mean, short-term. I mean, there are advantages and disadvantages for both mode, but I think when people in blockchain think about why Asian projects are short-term, it's one of the main reasons because our society is because what we have been experienced over the past decades.
Gotcha. So it's kind of like the casino or investor mentality where people want the returns right away, right? They put some money in, they want to see it have, you know, little money babies as quick as possible, right?
But there are like investors of both kinds in both countries. But in general, there are more short-term thinking in China than here in U.S.
Gotcha. And so with NGC, I mean, when people think of that, the first thing they think of is NEO, right? So how are you guys separate from that? Why don't you kind of explain to people that are going to have that question, you know, what is NGC and how is NEO kind of, you know, connected to it or not?
So NGC Venture is a blockchain agnostic fund. We invest in many infrastructure level projects. And the relationship with NEO is our largest anchor LP for fund one. Basically, but our main goal is for profit. So we invest in over 15 public chains to support the infrastructure play. Basically, NEO is also a blockchain, but we would like to explore more opportunities to fund better techs instead of just focusing on one.
Gotcha. So you're betting on a bunch of horses versus one horse in the race, right? So you're kind of like diversification of sorts, right? So you're blockchain agnostic, so you've invested a bunch of money in NEO, and so now you're investing in other blockchains as well. So what are some of the other investments that NGC's, I guess, taking part in?
So basically, NGC was founded in 2017. We have been operating more than a year, and we see the trend. Basically, the bull market in 2017 grabbed a lot of people's attention. But if you look at the real development, we're still at a very early stage. That means it's like a city. We're currently building the road. So when people talk about application, it was too early last year. So last year, our main focus is on infrastructure. That said, we invest in public chains, scaling solutions, and infrastructure in different areas, including gaming and infrastructure for DeFi. And this year, when everything comes to be a little bit more clear, people start to shift their attention to the application layer. So there is definitely like a trend of moving towards the future.
Yeah.
As a VC, we need to foresee the future while have a very clear mind about what the market is going in the short and long term.
Gotcha. So basically, you know, you start off investing in infrastructure, right? So making sure that the body has like a strong skeleton, right? Before
yes.
you start, you know, throwing the flesh and the clothes and all that kind of stuff on it, right? Because if it's got a weak frame, then nothing's really going to work right. So what are some of the public blockchains you guys have, you know, funded or invested in?
So because we are an Asian fund, we invest in both US and Asian projects. So we led the investment of Zydeca and Ontology last year, and both infrastructure play. And in China, we also invest in Trias. Here in US, our portfolio includes Solana, Algorand, and Space Merge. So all of them doing a lot of things for infrastructure, but because the market is too early, people took different approaches. And from investment perspective, we would like to fund all the good ideas. So because no one knows what's going to happen in crypto, and diversification is one of the most important thing for VC.
Yeah. What is it that you kind of look for in a project before you guys, you know, put your money, you know, down as an investment on one of these, I guess, you know, companies or ideas?
So basically, you know, in crypto, the only thing people have upfront is very limited. A lot of project just only have a white paper. So when we look at project, team is very important. You need to dig into what the team have been done in the past, the founder especially, and also look at their white paper. But I think face-to-face chat can it's very effective because you can learn a lot of things from people touting instead of reading what they wrote for their white paper. So that's why I think a lot of the interview has been done online. It's very helpful for like secondary market people because not many people get chance to talk with those project founders, etc. And another thing we look at is token economics because, a token obviously is very important for our project. It's not only like a payment or utility, it's a representation about what the team's attitude towards their own project because you can probably tell whether the team's going long or short from their token economic design. So token economics can tell a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, just their own, there's a huge topic, right? So a lot of people don't, when they launch projects, maybe don't put enough thought into their tokens, right? They, you know, kind of look at some other project that looks similar to theirs and they try to copy it or whatnot, or they just kind of feel out the community, how much, you know, should the team get, how much should the community get, how much should be held, all that kind of stuff. You actually spend a lot of your time looking through the token, you know, economics, right? And some of the gamification side of things. What's some of the most important things that you look at there? I know you said, you know, long and short, but, you know, if you kind of open the hood, so to speak, and, you know, look at the engine, what is it you're really looking for, you know, for these companies that watch this interview and they're like, okay, that makes sense, Jack. I appreciate that.
So basically, while I was doing research on crypto and blockchain, because as an economist, the website we use to check out those papers is Econ Literature. And sadly, if you type blockchain cryptocurrency in the search engine, there are only 3 pages of paper coming out, which are probably 15 papers. And half of it is translation of the previous paper, which means there are less than 20 papers available in the space, which are being confirmed and read by real economists. That means there are too little effort put into economics in the crypto. And when people talk about crypto, everyone is like, oh, POS, POW. But in my opinion, a solid crypto economics, it's like, it also have different layers, just like technically. So if you think about, so the metaphor I use is, if you think about the foundational layer, the crypto, the economics are used to design the pricing for like bandwidth, storage, all the very fundamental things. And same for consensus. So you need token to let people stake to increase the network security. But all of those token economics is very different from other layers. So on top of the consensus layer, we have a big community, developers who try to develop on the platform. So the economic tool you use to build that layer is labor economics because you need to use tokens to determine people's salary or wage in a decentralized way to how to compensate people who develop things on top of your platform. And that's the second layer. And the third layer is basically human interaction. People find it hard to get blockchain adoption, and it's not only about technical issues, so also about the way people currently in the space think about tokenomics. So for the application layer, we not only need to take token into consideration, also need to take traditional business model into consideration. A lot of projects, their thinking is we're going to try to build a crypto product and we have a token and people is going to use the token to buy the token and then buy my service. But I mean, if you think about it, the barrier to entry is so high that none of the people will actually use their crypto to buy their service unless their service is very, very attractive. So people sort of have the wrong thinking. And a lot of people think crypto is going to take over the fiat. But we have been operating in the traditional business model for centuries, which means we need to find a way to integrate crypto into the traditional business model. How are we going to get businessmen use cryptocurrency smoothly instead of just assume they're going to buy crypto from exchanges? So, I mean, people have different mentality and the economic tools we use are so different between different layers. And it's sad that not many people are working on the application layer, the tokenomics for application layer. People put a lot of attention on the fundamental layer, which is currencies for consensus.
That's a lot of great information right there for people that, are trying to, create their own cryptocurrency or start their own crypto company of sorts. So yeah, a lot of that. And then one of the other pieces too, what about gamification? You talked about, you've got a big chunk of that in your past. And so how important is that into the token economics?
So basically the game theoretical analysis about crypto and blockchain are very superficial right now. A lot of people use the word game theory to just make their product fancier. But if you actually think about game theory, it's a topic which it's very easy to analyze things once you find the right game theoretical tools. And you probably heard from a lot of people talk about prisoner's dilemma, but the underlying assumption of prisoner's dilemma is not very realistic, which means using prisoner's dilemma to analyze things is very unrealistic and is not right tools to use from game theoretical perspective to analyze blockchain. And one thing my research I research on is how will blockchain smart contract benefit traditional business? Because in my opinion, traditional businessmen, they won't speculate on cryptocurrency. They will only use cryptocurrency if crypto actually generates some revenue or lower their cost so they can benefit from. And one of the research I did is, if you think of a blockchain is basically solve a lot of information distribution issues. Because of decentralization, we have less information asymmetry. So from high level, that actually brings more competition because when there's a new entrant, he knows what the market's going on from all the blockchain transaction data on chain, and that create more competition. And on the other hand, we have smart contract, which is contingency and automatic execution. So contingency means if I sign a contract with you, we all agree on terms, which are programmed into the system. If I break the term, you will get your compensation straight away. So this immediate compensation prevents both of us from breaking the contract. It promotes more collusion, or in another word, collaboration. So when you use blockchain and smart contract together, one thing will bring more competition and the other thing will bring more collusion. How do I know what the net effect is? So from game theoretical aspect, we still are not sure what the net outcome of blockchain adoption will bring to traditional business. So before we solve those type of game theoretical questions, how can blockchain be massively adopted by traditional business? Because they don't even know whether this technology will bring them more competition or collaboration.
Yeah, so many great points here, man. Actually, this is a really great interview for a lot of people to kind of, pop the hood, so to speak, and, kind of look at the inner workings of blockchain and why things are difficult and, what a VC looks at before, opening up the old pocketbook and investing in something. And one of the things I think we both agree on right away is blockchain's too difficult. It's too hard. It's the user experience is horrible. And so that's one of the reasons why, forget about the underlying technology, so to speak, but it's just difficult for people to understand it and wrap their minds around it. Like you said, business people, they really don't want to use it unless they see an immediate benefit where it's going to save them money, right? Or they're going to make money from it, right? It's going to make their life easier, but it has to be easy for them to use. So like with Monarch Pay, we were discussing earlier, you know, just like recurring payments, merchants have to use like credit cards and PayPal and, you know, all those Patreons, and they pay 3%, 10%. It's a big bill, and then they get chargebacks. And so then they give the goods or services to somebody. Somebody says they didn't receive it after they did. They get charged back. The merchant leaves, you know, or loses out on that money. So one of the reasons why, you know, we use, you know, smart contracts and created Monarch Pay was so now merchants can, you know, basically just offer their service or whatever and get paid in stable tokens, save them the chargebacks, save them a bunch of money, you know, with the merchant fees. And I think stuff like that, like what you just said, is how we get, you know, the big businesses in blockchain by offering them something that they're not currently able to use and something that's going to save them money from day one. What's some of the applications you see out there right now that you're really excited about? You think that they're like on the right, you know, path to maybe getting, you know, business adoption, things like that?
So basically, from traditional economic perspective, I think the technology will only show its value when it actually directly or indirectly creates something for the real economy. So basically, payment is one use cases, which, I mean, people has already explored a lot. Basically, we use cryptocurrencies feature, use cryptocurrency as a vehicle currency to increase the speed of transaction, etc. And another area I personally look into is the SaaS. Basically, I mean, for SaaS, especially in Asia, the adoption rate for SaaS in US is very high. So a lot of company, especially the managerial layer, use applications provided by Salesforce, etc. But in China and Asia, because a lot of those traditional business, they came from family background. So they all use human labor to manage their, factory and businesses. That creates a lot of inefficiency. And when competition comes in, one thing they can do is to basically use those softwares, SaaS, to basically improve efficiency. And I think there are several points which blockchain could be beneficial to them in a way that, I mean, smart contract, think about it, a lot of traditional business, they need contingency, especially for trade finance. When together with, for example, one use case is export and import. So some payment need to be delivered based on the arrival of the stocks. So that's like a contingency play, and smart contract together with some probably IoT devices can make that happen and can increase the security of the payment as well. But I mean, there are definitely more area to think of. And I mean, a lot of people have put a lot of attention to Bitcoin, but in my opinion, Bitcoin showed its financial value, but blockchain itself still have a lot of real economic value that yet to be explored. And I mean, we cannot explore until we have a foundation which allow people to try different things. All the current applications, the so-called dApps, I mean, it's a cool idea of thinking, but I mean, coming to blockchain adoption, you still need to ask the question that whether a thing could bring some real economic value and people will actually pay for it. I mean, Warren Buffett, he case a lot of doubt on blockchain. And one of the reasons is that, so he invests in Coca-Cola and people drink it every day. So the value can be shown very, obvious. But coming to crypto, we have a layer which we need. It's difficult to show its real value because essentially it's a data play. It's underlying infrastructure. And the coming to application, I mean, the best application should build on blockchain should be that people use it and didn't notice they partially use blockchain. So instead of focusing on dApps or DeFi, people should, change their name to focus less on decentralization, because that's what infrastructure should focus on instead of real people, because real people shouldn't think that way.
Interesting. Yeah, some of the things that come to mind, you know, for like the killer use case for me, just thinking is, you know, just peer-to-peer payments, right? Just being able to go anywhere in the world and have access to your funds and have nobody, you know, being able to cut you off from it. And you can spend it any way you want. So that's why it's kind of exciting when you see like Libra Coin, right? Where they got 80 million, you know, businesses on their blockchain, or not on their blockchain yet, but they got 80 million, you know, businesses in their ecosystem, 2 to 3 billion users. What do you think about Libra? What do you think about Venus, you know, through Binance? You got China coming out with their own coin. You got Fed coin. You can see that they're, you know, starting to work towards, you know, payments being like the killer app. What's kind of your thoughts on that, you know, general, you know, ecosystem of companies coming in?
So basically, there is an economic term called vehicle currency, which I just mentioned a little bit. So vehicle currency means people use that currency, but we just want to use its feature. So from that perspective, things coins like Libra are a perfect example of so-called vehicle currency. So a lot of international trade has been done through US dollar, because for example, if you use some African dollar to pay someone in Europe, and there is not an exchange, foreign exchange for that trading pair. So everyone needs to go through US dollar. So the notion is same. So here we're trying to make the payment faster. So we use a cryptocurrency to use its speed. But coming to crypto application, I think I personally don't consider stablecoin as a crypto. I just think stablecoin is a metaphor for crypto. I just want to use cryptocurrency's feature instead of, because the true essence of stablecoin is still a US dollar for most of it. So basically, I think from economic perspective, I think what they're building is good. But coming to crypto, I think there are different areas that are more exciting than that. And a lot of stablecoin work fine in small scale, but in large scale, just bear in mind that all the exchange rate are determined by interest rate parity between different countries. But here we just program to lock the crypto value with a US dollar. Is that a true way of solving stable coin? I don't even know. And stable coin is stable for US citizen. It's never stable for example, Chinese citizen. So there are a lot of, different ways to think of this question.
Sure.
It's very controversial. So.
Yeah, you miss the volatility, right? So right now, people are in crypto for speculation, and so with stable tokens and coins, they're not going to have that as much. And so, you know, that's probably going to deter some of the usage. But I think more and more people being accustomed to these, you know, quasi-cryptos, it's kind of like a gateway drug, right? It's going to allow exposure to things, you know, like NEO, Bitcoin, Ethereum, all these other things, right? They'll be like, hey, I'm using Libra, and what's this Bitcoin thing? What's this NEO thing, right? So I think it's pretty awesome, you know, just getting that many new eyes on crypto, period. I think it'll be kind of cool. What's a book that you read, man, that, kind of helped, you know, shape your life? You know, something that you think is important, something you read that you think other people might be able to read and gain some value from?
So basically, I read a lot of paper that's been written by economists. There are just too few of them. Like all the crypto economic paper, I don't enjoy it because I studied game theory for like years. But still, when people in crypto talk about game theory, I don't even know what topics they mention. Probably they're just trying to make their project fancier. But I strongly recommend people to just study basic economics, because some projects don't make a lot of sense. What they're trying to build is nothing to do with economics. It's just built for speculation and Ponzi schemes. So I think, so basically there are a few articles that people can check on Google Scholar, which is very insightful if people want to learn more token economics and stuff like that. And also, I think crypto people are very, very looking forward to future, and they kind of forget what happened in the past. So, DeFi is a very hot topic, but the term decentralized finance have a lot of element of anti-government. But if you go back to financial history, there are several instances which government gave chance to the market to let the market decide things and didn't work out very well. So from personal level, by analyzing all the financial history, I'm still not sure whether DeFi is a good thing or a bad thing. But right now it works very fine and people enjoy it. Is that excitement short term or long term? I'm still not sure because, I mean, I like to reflect from history. So there are a lot of things that people can learn by reading those historical paper.
Gotcha. You know, one of the ones that come to mind is a book. It's called Economics in One Lesson. So I don't know if you've ever read that or not, but Economics in One Lesson. So it's a good one. But do you have any hidden skills or talents or anything like that that the world doesn't know about? So obviously you're, you know, super sharp in blockchain and token economics and how things work. But do you have any skills outside of crypto or outside of maybe, you know, blockchain that something you do, maybe even a hobby, something you're good at that maybe people don't know about?
Yeah, right now I just like to explore. I'm trying to find all the good economists. It's like very difficult to find a good economist in crypto because, and there are two reasons. One is either the economy is super legit and it refused to come into crypto by hearing all the crazy stories, or there are some crypto people who pretend they're economists and they publish those so-called economic paper but never have any content. So it's hard to find a person who actually knows economics and also know what's going on in crypto. But I mean, it turns out there are a few professors in US who are actually very good at doing those kind of things. So I really enjoy following up their research. But other than that, it's like, I mean, I'm a researcher, so reading papers is my daily job. And yeah.
So that's what you do for fun. That's awesome. What's some of these researchers that you follow? What's their names that people could follow as well?
Yeah, I think it's better for me to provide link to you so you can just attach below the video. But in general, I think there are not many. I couldn't even name five of them. So the ones I like, only probably three. So I'm working closely with some professors from top universities to try to explore things because we don't have a solid model yet. Everyone's effort, I mean, means a lot of things. There's not like a higher level research or lower level research in crypto right now.
Gotcha.
Are yet to be tested.
So another personal question for you. So if you could change anything, you know, like say you're president for the day, you could change any kind of law or regulation or, you know, I don't know, make it Taco Tuesday every Tuesday. You can do whatever you want. So if you could change anything, what would you change? What would you do? You had the ultimate power. You can do whatever you wanted. You can make everybody wear unicorn rainbow t-shirts on Thursdays if you wanted. It doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. What would you do?
Yeah, I think basically I want to change the current crypto environment right now because I think although making a lot of money is good, but people are too short-sighted in crypto. And one of the reasons is people who have power, who have a lot of money, they're trying to make more money in an unhealthy way. So if everyone can be more patient and clear their eyes, because I'm a believer in blockchain, otherwise I mean, just stay here. But I mean, from research, I figure there are a lot of things that need to be explored, and crypto only have a good future if we have like a very healthy environment. I mean, although it's very speculative, but still, if more people produce some legitimate things, we will have a good outcome finally.
Gotcha. All right. And another personal question for you. I can tell it's just blockchain and crypto on your mind 24/7. Doesn't matter what I ask you, it's going to come back with crypto. It's awesome. So if you had a time machine and you could go forward in time as far as you want, you could go back in time as far as you want, but you had to stay there, when and why would you go in history?
So basically, I like to stay in college because that's where I do not have there are less things to bug you, basically. When you're in college, I'm personally less social when I was in college because the everyday life is just talking with economic professors and talking some very, I mean, realistic stuff. But coming to the world, people have different personalities, and working in San Francisco sometimes, I mean, not sometimes, always surprised me by meeting a lot of people, good and bad. So world is more complicated after college. So
gotcha.
Have a simple life.
Well, my friend, there is nothing simple about crypto or blockchain. So, but it sounds like, you know, you're on the right path, man. It sounds like you got a lot of great ideas on how to find, you know, solid projects and, you know, what it's going to take for them to become solid. So definitely keep us posted, man, on all the stuff that you're doing. I appreciate you coming on. Unless there's anything else, man, I'll let you get on with your day.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your interview.
Anytime.
I'm very happy to share any of my research paper.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure to put your links, you know, in the description for people, as well as if you want to share the links to some of the researchers that you follow, that would be great, I think, for people. So, and then we'll also get the links out to, you know, as far as your company and where people can go and, you know, try to introduce themselves to you as well. So thanks again, Jack. It's been awesome, my friend.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. God bless. Bye. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Huge thanks to Jack. Appreciate you, buddy, taking time out of your busy day to tell us what you do and why you do it and all that kind of cool stuff. And for people that want to look at the research he was talking about, check out the link in the description below. Just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beatles shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beatles and his guests. Robert Beatles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of TradingView Sessions, Crypto Beatles on YouTube, and on several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beatles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. All right. God bless you. Love you. Till the next one. Talk to you soon.